And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going once again to the book of Psalms number 18. And we're going to start reading at verse number 35. Psalm 18, verse 35, the Bible says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." Now, let's recap where we're at and why we're here. We started off by getting in David's history, and we've been going down the history of David for a while now. We started by going down his history, and we got to 2 Samuel chapter number 22. And when we did, I remembered that Psalm 18 has many of the same phrasings and many of the same themes, and it's virtually identical. It's got a lot of differences. We collated those, cataloged those a while back, several weeks back now. But now we're in a verse-by-verse study of this psalm. Last week we talked about how that God progressively wants you to exercise and increase your faith, and how that He wants you to work out your salvation. He wants you to build your strength to where you can even bend a bow of steel, and where you can have hinds feet on high places where the footing is treacherous. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that today, because God has given us a safety net. Now, what I'm getting ready to say might be controversial to you. It's not at all controversial to me, because God settled my mind years ago about the concept of eternal security. God settled my mind taking multiple scriptures. When you're become saved, when you are born again, you become a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And yet, we also have the flip side. Confess your sins daily. If you say you have no sin, you call him a liar. We also have Peter saying, examine yourself, whether you be of the faith or not. I believe it should be daily myself. I believe it should be daily. We should daily examine ourselves. Are we really truly saved? Are we born again? Does the record back it up? Lord, I have done these sins. I have thought these thoughts. Because see, there's one sin. Well, there's two sins. There are two sins that are absolutely thought sins. One is putting something else above God, having a God before Him. Two is coveting anything. Your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's property, your neighbor's whatever. Coveting, covetousness, is a thought sin. It is a sin that does not require you to do anything to have committed it. A lot of times we try to get out of the idea that sins can be sins of the mind only, and yet they can. Coveting is. And coveting is the prelude to adultery. It's the prelude to theft. It's the prelude to murder. It's the prelude to anything else that is listed. Now, there are more sins than just what is listed in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments list some big ones. Honoring your father and mother. Dishonoring your father and mother is a sin. Committing adultery. And the associated sins that go around that, fornication, those things, that sin, there becomes a great, vast chasm of sin. And there's a whole bunch of names for what the Bible sums up as adultery. Theft, any taking of property that's not your own, or that you've not been given, or that you don't have some rights to. And a lot of people want to make that really fuzzy. If you got permission to take it, it's not theft. And sometimes permission is given in unique ways. But, and it can be any sort of property. It could be theft of ideas. It could be theft of virtually anything. Adultery and theft are closely aligned because adultery implies you've taken someone else's wife and that or her husband. It's all in taking of a life is murder, killing. And it all has to do with take, take, take. And that's what coveting is. I want to take something. I want to get something for myself. That's what all that is. And coveting is the thought sin that goes ahead of the others. Bearing false witness. We're taking the truth away from proceedings. That has to do with testimony. That's called perjury. But the allied sin of lying goes right along with it, because in one way or another, you're bearing false witness, whether it's in a trial or what. Sin is inescapable. If you say you have no sin, you call him a liar. That is in the book 1 John, by the way, 1 John chapter number 1. Look down through that. That gives you a very clear roadmap of confession of sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We talked about washing of hands a few weeks ago. We all have to continually wash our hands. You're not done. It's not one and done when it comes to washing your hands. But having hands to wash is one and done. And so I make a distinction between your relationship with God and your fellowship with God. Your sin destroys your fellowship, but neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come can separate us from the love of God. We can never lose our relationship as children once we're born again. And I'm going to stand on that. I'm not going to argue with you about it, but I will stand on it. I will say, I believe that's what the Scripture says. And here we have David saying essentially the same thing. He says, we have the shield of salvation. He doesn't even say it that way. He doesn't say, we have it. What does he say here? Let's look at it again. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Let's make this one thing very clear. I had absolutely nothing to do with my salvation other than accepting it. That's the only thing I can do or can't do. I can either refuse it or I can accept it. The sovereign act of God performs it. And I can no more undo an act of God than I can do an act of God. God's hand is not shortened. God's strength is not weakened, that my human agency can take away what was given to me by God, and that is the new birth. And again, I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, you can call me or write me, email me, and say, well, this verse says this, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. I've studied those verses. I have. I've studied those verses. Over the years, I've studied the verses that say, that some people have interpreted to say that you can lose what God gave you. I've studied them. And I'm settled. You're not going to change my mind. And I'm probably not going to change your mind. Let's don't argue about it. Let's have fellowship. We can have fellowship. But I'm not going to argue about it with you. I'm just not going to. If you don't like how I preach it, then tune in somebody else. Tune in to something else. You don't have to listen to me. But I am going to proclaim what I believe the Bible says. And the Bible here says that He has given me the shield of salvation. I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. I didn't make it myself. I didn't put it together. I cannot take it apart. It is something that I have. Whether I choose to use it or not is immaterial. It is something He gave me by a sovereign act of a thrice holy God. Furthermore, Let's keep going down in this. This is very important scripture. This scripture further says, "And thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." His right hand. That means if his right hand hath holden me up, then that means I must be on his right side, and he must be on my left. So I'm on his strong side, and he's on my weak side. Now, I'm not going to say anything against left-handed people. There are a lot of left-handed people in the world. I know a number of them. I'm not going to say anything against that whatsoever. I'm not. In ages past, things were said against people who were left-handed. I'm somewhat ambidextrous myself. Some things I do better left-handed. Some things I do better right-handed. I write with my right hand. I'm not going to say it's great, but my left hand writes worse. There are things, though, that I do left-handed, like shoot a bow. I shoot a bow left-handed. I hit a baseball or a softball with a bat. I hit left-handed. I can hit right-handed, but I am far more comfortable hitting left-handed because of my eyes. I'm left-eyed. My right eye and my left eye do not work together. And my left eye is my dominant eye. And so there are things that it's just more natural to do left-handed, like shooting a bow. It lines up better. And that's the way I just do it. But for the majority of people, for well over 50% of the people, the right hand is the hand of strength. And the left hand is not. And he's on the left. He's taking care of it. And he's backing us up on our weak side. The place where we are weak, he is strong. Yeah. That's what the way the Lord works. And his right hand hath holden me up. He is keeping me up. Even when I'm failing. Even when I'm sinning. Even when I'm not coming up to his standard. And thy gentleness hath made me great. He's gentle about it. He is not a God who is just vindictive and looking for you to mess up. No. If you mess up, he'll help you. Depending on the mess up, he might have to, you know, chastise you as a child of God if you mess up. But he's going to help guide you, and it's in gentleness that he makes you great. He gently guides you, and he don't have to do that, by the way. He could be mean about it if he wanted to be. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. Now, see, here's where I believe the doctrine of eternal security is present to the greatest extent. If it weren't for the fact that the Lord did it and the Lord made it secure, we would slip and slide all the time, and we would go down sinful rabbit holes, and we would go and perform sin and do things that could cause us to slip. But he enlarges our steps. He enlarges the place where we have footing, and he gives us firm footing to where we never do those things. Now, I'm not saying we don't sin, because we do. What I am saying is if it were possible for us to sin enough to slip outside of God's relationship, if it were possible for us to sin enough to take away our salvation, he is digging the steps deeper to where we won't do that. If it were possible, and I'm not saying it is, I don't believe it is, but if it were possible, once you're born again, God's not going to let you go that far. I believe he'll take you out of here before he'll let you go that far. I believe that he will not allow you to get to a place where, again, if it were possible, I don't even think it's possible, but if it were possible, he won't let you go that far. He'll take you out before he'll let you get to that place. Now, is that why a lot of people are taken out? You'd have to ask God about that. And you can look at it straight in the scripture yourself. David went as far as adultery, murder, and theft, all with Bathsheba. How so theft? He stole another man's wife. Adultery, yes, he committed adultery with her, but he stole her. He called for her, took him into his own room, stole. He stole Uriah's wife against her will, I believe. He took her, committed adultery, and then committed murder. And lied about it. Committed false witness. And he bore false witness. And then, it all resulted from being covetous. Coveting his neighbor's wife. He did all these things. He put another god before the Lord. That god was the god of the beauty of Bathsheba. He dishonored his father and mother by dishonoring their vow of marriage reflected in Uriah and Bathsheba's vow of marriage. He broke every single one of the commandments. He even took the Lord's name in vain because he was the king and his word was law. And he was as if he were God to them. He broke them all. And it all started with coveting Bathsheba. And yet, God does not leave him over. God does not thrust him aside. God says, you're forgiven, you won't die. Because David was quick. He was quick to confess. He was quick to repent. And the Lord was just as quick to cleanse him. Now, in this case, cleansing meant he was going to have to get a scrub down. And it was going to cost him. It was going to hurt what God was going to do. There were definite consequences on this side of eternity. And child of God, you sin after you've been born again, you're going to have serious consequences. But I'm thankful that the Lord gives you sure footing so that you don't just slip. Otherwise you could. If the Lord didn't give the footing sure, if the Lord did not enlarge your steps, you could slip. And again, David's saying this, he's saying it under the law, he's not saying it under grace, and things were different under the law. I understand that. But I love this. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me. That's very plain. He digs the steps out to where you don't slip. He takes a treacherous path and he goes up and he carves steps into it so you can walk up the most treacherous path and not slip. And I'm not just talking about sin when I talk about the slipping either. I'm talking about you're in the midst of a trial and it would be real easy to just give up. And the Lord enlarges your steps underneath so that you can stand and you can keep going and you won't slip. Lord, folks, he's going to treat you gentle if you'll let him and if you'll obey and follow him and follow up with him. Confess your sins. Get them right as soon as you can. Every day, examine yourselves. Stay in the faith. Stay active. Work out your salvation. Make sure, you know, when somebody is doing a physical workout, they don't just do a max and say, okay, I can lift X number of pounds and that's done. I don't have to prove it anymore. I don't have to do any more. I don't have to lift anymore. I just lifted 400 pounds, you know. No, you lose things. You lose strength if it's not worked out. Now, you don't lose the ability to lift altogether, but you lose strength. And that's what we're talking about, strengthening your salvation. But you got to have salvation before you can strengthen it. You've got to have salvation before you have any sort of shield whatsoever. And God has given us the shield of salvation. It is to block the darts of the devil. It's to block the darts of our own flesh. And it's to keep us secure. He then works us with his right arm. He holds us up, even in the midst of battle, even in the midst of us taking a beating. He's got our back, and he's holding us into the battle and helping us. He's on our weak side, and we're on his strong side. And we can keep going because he's holding us up. He's helping us hold that shield. See? The sword was in the right hand, unless you were left-handed, which few people were. A few people were. All of the left-handers that are mentioned in the Bible were of the tribe of Benjamin, interestingly enough, which means son of the right hand. I find that so interesting. I've preached on that more than once. I find it so interesting that left-handed Benjamites, left-handed sons of the right hand, that's the way that works. But for the most part, a person would hold the shield in their left hand. And if the Lord's holding us with the right hand, where's that put his body? Right behind that shield. He's able to strengthen that shield. He's able to lean in and make that shield of salvation. Our salvation is not dependent upon our strength. Our salvation is dependent upon his strength. And he has no limit to his strength. Hallelujah. There's no limit to the strength of God. There's no limit to his sovereignty that he doesn't intentionally put in there. He's sovereign. You may have chose to agree to his call, but you did not get yourself saved. You did not birth yourself. He did it. Sovereign act of God. And he keeps you. He keeps you through a sovereign act of God. It's not anything you can do. It's not anything you can undo. It's a sovereign act of a thrice holy God. And here in Psalm 18, we have scripture that shows that very clear and very plainly, that he's the one that's holding you up. He's the one that gave you the salvation. And he's the one that's making your steps, the steps underneath you, are bigger and better and sturdier so that you won't slip. He's right there with you in every battle, even the battles with your own flesh. He's right there with you, and he will hold you up through thick or thin. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next time for I Want to Know More.